If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's Wendy Snyder with you, sitting in for Bob Surratt all this week and next week. He is on a cruise. He'll be back soon. And we go live to Ukraine right now. Joseph Lindsley is standing by. Yesterday we spoke, Joseph, and we had mentioned the drone attack in the Moscow region, and Russian President Vladimir Putin called it a sign of terrorism, terroristic activity. What has developed since we spoke to you last?
Wendy, good afternoon from Lviv. You know, as always is the case with information coming from Russia, it's hard to know what to trust. You know, one thing, you know, it's very unique about this war in Ukraine. There are journalists everywhere, and they're free to go and talk to people and to explore and to report the truth. I know that because I've reported every single day, and I've never encountered any form of censorship. Very different from our embedded reporting, even in Iraq and Afghanistan, where everything was under control of the military. But in Russia, there is no freedom of speech. And we've seen with the imprisonment, the ongoing imprisonment of the Wall Street Journal reporter, that it's very dangerous for foreign journalists to be there, very difficult to find out exactly what's happening. We do know that there were, it seems, maybe 10 drones came into the city of Moscow. Some of them were over a very exclusive neighborhood that they call, some people call the Beverly Hills of Moscow. And we don't know, is it Russian partisan activity? You know, last week there were the stories of the Russian Freedom for Russia Legion, these Russians who've been fighting with Ukrainians who oppose Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin, that, you know, last week that we had the reports that, and evidence that they made incursions into Russian territory from Ukraine. Could this be the work of partisans? Could it be the work of Ukrainian, you know, Ukrainian special operations? I have had indications much further away from Moscow of foreign fighters working with Ukraine going into Russian territory. Sometimes that happens accidentally. You know, it's a bit messy out there, and you all of a sudden you realize that you're deep, you know, behind enemy lines. Other times that's intentional. We don't know for sure. And then another two other possibilities. It could be the work of opponents of Putin who are still nasty people, such as Prigozhin, the guy that leads the Wagner group that was doing most of the destruction in Bakhmut. He's been posting videos the past months critical of the Russian military. You know, and I think it is probably a den of thevies there, you know, in that, you know, it's not a happy environment, I think, in the Kremlin. So who do you trust? And the last possibility is that it could be a false flag operation, which the Russians, you know, they've used that tactic a lot before. It's a tactic that the Nazis like to use, by the way, in World War II. A false flag operation in order to make the Russian people feel that they are the ones being attacked should the Kremlin need to mobilize more of the population. You know, from many reports, those who live in Moscow and St. Petersburg are pretty removed from the war. And, you know, especially the wealthy people, they've, you know, felt a little bit of the effects of the sanctions. But certainly they can go on with their lives in a way that Ukrainians cannot. And so perhaps this was a false flag operation. We don't know. And maybe it's also meant simply to distract. You know, the other thing developing now is south of Ukraine. So south of Ukraine is the country of Romania. And then south of Romania is Serbia. And then south of Serbia is Kosovo. And Kosovo declared its independence in 2008. And there've long been tensions between Serbia and Kosovo. There have been demonstrations in Kosovo, in the capital, ethnic Serbians clashing with the Kosovans and the Orthodox Serbians versus the Muslim Kosovans. The government of Serbia has been very close to Russia, including the church, the Orthodox Church of Serbia. The Russians are accusing the West of trying to stir things up there, and the West is accusing Russia of trying to stir things up. So we have two things to watch: these drone activities in Moscow and whatever's happening down in the Balkans. Meanwhile, Russia continues its daily shelling along the front lines in Ukraine. But other than that, although we had warnings last night of some increased Russian activity in the Black Sea and to be prepared for a massive missile strike, everything was calm in Kyiv and in most of the cities throughout Ukraine.
All right. Well, that is a good thing to know. The reports that I got, we're getting here in America about an hour ago, is that the drones attacked Russian oil refineries. Any comment on that?
Yes, we do have, and this has happened a few times. There have been, in the past several months, major explosions at Russian oil refineries. That happened again in the past 24 hours. And again, that could be, if it is the work of the Ukrainians, they're going to keep it very secret. And it could be Ukrainians working with Russian partisans. It's going to be impossible to know exactly who's behind these, I think, until this is all over.
So you mentioned a pretty quiet night last night. Did you say that? I know earlier Tuesday, one person was killed in an aerial assault, but last night, nothing. Do you just sit there and wait for things to happen? Because I can't even imagine the anxiety everybody must be feeling.
Yeah, there is. So, I mean, for one, there's always something, like in cities like Nikopol and in Donbass, and villages and farms in Donbass, there's always shelling. So it's never a quiet night. And that we have to remember. But in cities like Lviv, where I am, and in Kyiv, you know, Kyiv had no quiet nights from Friday until finally last night. It was quiet. Last night, I was on one of the streets in the center of Lviv, the Cafe Facette, a popular place for locals. And there was a choir of traditional people in traditional clothes, the Veshivanka, from central Ukraine, from a region that where the Russians in imperial times and in Soviet times, they tried to destroy the Ukrainian culture. And here are people from that ancient Cossack heartland in traditional costume having supper and singing at the table, maybe 20 or so people, most of them older. And then young people gathered around to listen and to join in the music and the singing. And there was such a solidarity. And you could see people popping out of their windows up above to listen. And so this is how people keep strong and keep going. And then I had a couple of friends there who are going or today heading to back to fight. They were on a break here in Lviv and going back to the fight. And a woman in our group said, let's go up to the Bald Mountain, which is a mountain overlooking the city. And usually you can't go there in the wartime. But because we had people with credentials, we were able to go at night and climb this mountain. With the beautiful the breeze coming from the north, from the plains in the north, and you can see the entire city of Lviv. And there's that piece of music from Walt Disney's Fantasia, if you want to look it up, The Night on Bald Mountain, where it's very dramatic and scary, and then it ends with the Ave Maria. And I felt that as we're standing up there, you know, everyone faced the skies were peaceful last night, but you face this unknown, and this, you know, everyone is, you know, it is scary. And as one of my friends said, you know, he said, I never intended to be a soldier, but I have to. And no matter how scary it is, and in all of the horror, it is an honor to face this fight. And then a Ukrainian woman said, just as we're looking at this quiet scene of the lovely city at night with the lights twinkling, she said, life and death go together. And I asked her, she said that in English. And I said, is that a Ukrainian phrase? And she said, no, it's Ukrainian life. And then as we went down the mountain, we began to get warnings of potential attack. But in the end, here in the West, it was a peaceful night, and also in Kyiv.
Well, wishing you more peace, and we will speak to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, people can check out UkrainianFreedomNews.com. Joseph Lindsley, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy. Until tomorrow.